Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we're in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. If you'll recall, Ruth is the daughter-in-law of a woman named Naomi. And Naomi, whose name means pleasant, had found her circumstances changed from being pleasant to challenging to tragic. She went from being a married woman with a fine family, two sons, to being a widow with no sons and no one to care for her. Her daughter-in-law, one of her two daughters-in-law, Ruth, has insisted on going with her back to her homeland where she is now. She's in Bethlehem. And the barley harvest is just beginning. And we're going to pick up the adventure there. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat fields were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, I know that you want to go on and read the next chapter. You want to know what happens. But there are some things we need to look at here. First of all, what do you learn about Ruth's character from the way she behaves here? Now, we've already seen in the first chapter that she was loyal and compassionate toward her mother-in-law. She wasn't an opportunist just thinking, you know, well, it's not going to be good for me if I go back with my mother-in-law to a foreign country. She was determined to take care of her mother-in-law. She had basically adopted her mother-in-law. And she was going to take care of her, even though she didn't know how. She was willing to leave behind that which was familiar. She was willing to leave behind her own family and her friends and her contacts, her social network, all her ways, and go to a foreign country she'd never been to before with someone whose, from a worldly perspective, luck wasn't very good. I mean, didn't look like a very good situation, did it? You hang out with Naomi and bad things could happen to you. I mean, her husband dies, both her sons die. I don't know I want to spend a lot of time around that person. Naomi was that kind of person, and Ruth went with her. That takes courage. That takes compassion. Ruth had gone with Naomi to what was for Ruth a foreign land, and said, "I'm going to make this my home, and I'm going to die there, and I'll be buried there. I'm not going to visit. I'm not going to try and help you get set up. I am investing my life in your life." That's the kind of person that Ruth was. But in chapter 2, we see a little more of her character in that she's not just sitting around saying, "Mom, do you know where some guys are that I could meet?" Remember, the barley harvest was beginning. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi in verse 2, "Let me," she asked permission, "let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." In other words, hopefully somebody will be compassionate on me and let me do this. Now, God had commanded the Israelites when they went into the promised land. When they were harvesting the grain, there were a number of things. God gave them some wonderful rules regarding agriculture, but also some wonderful rules regarding social justice. And God commanded them, when they were harvesting a field, not to go all the way up to the edge and get every little last bit of the grain for themselves. Don't be greedy. Instead, God said, you're to leave kind of the corners. In other words, you just come this way and turn round the corner there. Come this way, round the corner. Go up there, round the corner. Go this way, round the corner. Come back. And then after you're done, you've got your gathering thing, but don't pick it clean. Leave some stuff so that the poor can come and gather up the extra, because they don't own the land. They didn't plant the crop, but they get hungry too. Now notice, God didn't say, "I want you to take this much of what you harvest and give that to the poor." He said, "Provide the poor with the opportunity to work." work. And Ruth said, Mom, let me go and work in the fields and get some food for us. Do you see that? Opportunity meets industriousness. Result, good things. Ruth goes out into the fields and she works. And she doesn't just work a little. Verse 7, the foreman is telling Boaz about Ruth. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. What'd she do? Asked permission. She asked her mother's permission to go to work. She asked the workers in the field permission to join them. And so she went into the field. Listen, she went into the field and she has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. The other workers were impressed with her work ethic because she worked steadily. Have you ever seen people who don't? I mean, they work a little bit and then they see somebody and they decide that it's more fun to stop and talk. I mean, everything is a distraction to them. They're not focused on the task, they're focused on fun. Do you see people who do their work and they don't seem to pay attention to what they're doing? Their mind is somewhere else? Let me tell you, that's normal. That's average. You don't want to be normal. You don't want to be average. You want to be exceptional. You want to be standouts. You want to be extraordinary. You want to be impressive in a positive way. But you got to get your mind in the game. You got to start thinking about what you're doing. And you got to realize that whether your job is big or little, you're to do it with all your might for the Lord's glory. Because you're not just working for whoever your supervisor is, you're working for the Lord. You represent Him. You should be the best employee that anybody's got. Diligent. Working hard with an eye to detail. That means you don't just run the vacuum over the floor, you look to see if it's picking things up. Right? That is such a basic concept that makes a world of difference. And all of you, every single one of you, I don't care what you end up doing for a living, you're either going to be good at it or lousy at it. Most people in the world are going to be lousy at it, whatever they do. The book of Proverbs says, do you see a man who is skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Why does it say that? Because for thousands of years, it has been hard to find anybody who's good at what they do. Most people are not good at what they do. There are tons of teachers, but not many good teachers. There are tons of doctors, but not many good doctors. There are tons of preachers, but not many good preachers. There are tons of musicians, but not many good musicians. But I want you to understand something. This work ethic, God says He looks for that. People who are diligent, the Bible says, will be rewarded. I don't know. I think some bosses just don't notice. Well, let me tell you who notices and who will reward. God. God will reward diligence. He promises. So if you are a diligent worker, you don't have to wonder if anybody's going to notice. God sees. And you don't have to wonder if anybody's going to reward you. God says He will. Let me ask you, who can do a better job rewarding you? God or somebody else? God can. He's got your address. He knows what matters most to you and He knows the future. Trust Him. Work for Him. Whatever you do, whoever your intermediate boss is, realize you're working for God. And whether you do it with all your might shows up in God's eyes. Ruth asked her mom if she could go work, her mother-in-law. Then she went and asked permission to work. And then she worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, verse 8, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go away and glean in another field. And don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you." Did you notice that? You notice also, verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." What does this tell you about cultural conditions in Israel at this time? It wasn't safe for women, especially unattached women. They weren't safe. Men might molest them. Ladies, you need to understand something. This is a wicked world. This is a bad place out there. Now, does that mean you ought to be paranoid? No. A little can of pepper spray might be a good idea, but I don't want you to be paranoid. I do want you to be aware. Just like the mother-in-law of Ruth made her aware that you need to stay where it's safe, because in some places, bad things happen to women. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because you need to understand we live in a world that is so evil and so messed up, and twice in this chapter, that reality is mentioned. Boaz told his employees, "Don't mess with her." What about the other women? You know? Obviously, he didn't think that his employees were all the highest caliber kind of guys. At a time when we only know of four humans living on the planet, Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Cain killed Abel. That's a pretty high crime rate. 25% of the population is guilty of homicide. A fourth of the population is a victim of homicide. That sounds like a bad world. That's the one we live in. Is that clear? That's the one we live in. Oh, Pastor, you're not saying that 25% of the people in our society are guilty of homicide. Well, not unless you count abortion. We live in a bad world where people kill people and do whatever they have to do in order to get what they want. And if you don't understand that about the world, then you don't understand the world. I mean, that's important. You need to understand that. It's a bad world out there. But it didn't keep Ruth from going to work. She went to work. She stayed in a group. And she worked really hard. That's a good thing to do. Hi, folks. This is Jim Wood. There's no denying that we're living in strange times, but current events are not a shock to God. He has prepared his people with his word. That's why I'm wanting to encourage you to check out a book that I wrote a number of years ago called Living Well in Babylon. Right now, I'm offering that book at a discounted price of only $10, but it is for a limited time. These are 10 lessons from the book of Daniel that God impressed on my heart, and I believe it'll be an encouragement to you when you wonder, how do we respond to what's going on? The entire book of Daniel is going to continue to be relevant and current until Jesus returns and the end comes. But I hope that these 10 lessons based on the book of Daniel will be a blessing to your life.
To get your copy of Living Well in Babylon, go to pastorwood.org and click on books. Or call us at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. and he's holding out his hand.
So, Boaz, who greeted his harvesters in verse 4, "The Lord be with you," is greeted by his harvesters, "The Lord bless you." Obviously, this was a religious man, a man of faith, and his workers knew it. Boaz took an interest in Ruth. And Boaz told Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go away and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." You understand what he's doing here? He is not only offering her the opportunity to work, he is offering her water. Precious commodity that somebody else, his employees, his men, have gone and gotten. And he's saying, you can have some of that water. You can draw water from the jars that they have filled. That's really nice. And so she says, she bows down with her face to the ground, humility, and exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" That is a great attitude. She said, "Why have you noticed me? And why would you take an interest in me? I'm a nobody. I'm a foreigner." Beautiful, humble attitude. She bows down with her face to the ground. That's humility. Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I know what you've done, and that is what attracts me to you. I care about the person that you are. I am attracted by your character and your conduct." That is what Boaz was looking for. You see that? Let me tell you something, ladies. It's good to know how to dress. You ought to know which way the stripes ought to run depending on your figure. I mean, it's good to know how to make the most of what God has given you. But understand this. That's all surface stuff. And there are some people who look really good, but they're just empty suits. There's no substance there. There's no character there. Their conduct is obnoxious. What matters most is your character. And your character is displayed by your conduct. And that is what attracted Boaz to this young woman. He invited her at mealtime to come and sit with him, to have some bread, dip it in the wine vinegar. She ate her fill and had more left over, which she took back to her mother-in-law. And if she had gotten a good result from her work in the morning, she got a better result in the afternoon, because Boaz said to the workers, "I want you to stack the decks in her favor. Leave some extra for her. Don't just leave the usual. Leave some extra. Pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." He made it so that she would get a better than normal return for her work. And so she gleaned in the field until evening. Please notice this, verse 17. She gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She had already worked all day, and now it's evening. What does she do? She works some more. Hard worker. God likes that. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.